This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
About that recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Last few months, it seemed like the recession was on its way out. This week, we're learning maybe not so fast. Sure, the economy is growing, just more slowly than the government thought it was last month. Home sales are up, but so is the number of people who are underwater on their mortgages. And bank lending is still dropping, which hamstrings everyone from home buyers to small businesses. And unemployment is still rising. Economists worry that could cut way into consumer spending, which fuels 70% of our economy. Retailers are doing everything they can to part us with our cash this year. Amazon and Walmart are locked in a massive price war, which is good news for shoppers, but bad news for business. Joel Rose reports.
The online price war started earlier this year with books. Walmart dropped its prices to $9 for some popular hardback titles. Amazon went to $8.99, and every other bookstore went into shock. Now Walmart and Amazon are sparring over the price of DVDs, toys, and electronics.
For both of them, it is really about the future of shopping, and it's about the new shoppers who are going to come along and for whom, you know, online is just second nature.
Wendy Liebman is CEO of WSL Strategic Retail. She says Walmart and Amazon both want a bigger share of the growing e-commerce market. Liebman says the price war could help both companies gain market share at the expense of everyone else.
You kind of come to a point where you've got major brands, big companies, big retailers still standing.
And a lot of smaller retailers out of business. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Later this morning, we'll get a whole lot of economic data. For now, though, the markets are having a pretty good morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index rose 0.4%. London's FTSE is up 0.6%. U.S. markets had an off day yesterday. Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 0.1%. Oil prices are up this morning, about $76 a barrel. Going to be a pricey Thanksgiving for travelers. The average price for a gallon of gas this weekend, probably going to be around $2.60 a gallon. Last year, it was $1.84 a gallon. General Motors will decide what to do with its Swedish unit Saab next week. GM had a deal to sell the money-losing model, but that fell through yesterday. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
GM has three options: to find another buyer for Saab, to close it and let the brand die, or to keep it. Another buyer would be the best option for GM. Saab has lost money for 19 of the past 20 years, and GM has a lot on its plate now that it's decided to keep its other loss-making European operations, Opel and Vauxhall. But if another buyer does not materialise, some analysts here say GM is in the mood to hang on to its Swedish brand. Professor David Bailey of Coventry University.
Let's not forget that GM has come out of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It's wiped off a lot of debts. It's very much rejuvenated. It's got an appetite again for turning around its European operations, and it might still see Saab as part of that.
He says Saab is an attractive upmarket brand which could have a growing appeal in emerging countries, but he concedes making Saab profitable will be a Herculean task. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Black Friday is right around the corner. 134 million people are expected to hit the stores in the post-Thanksgiving rush. Furry little Zuzu pets are going to be flying off of the shelves. They're the hot toy this year. Now, you might remember a couple years ago, safety issues hammered the toy industry. How are things looking now? David Lazarus is a business columnist for the LA Times. David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So a couple of years ago, we had it was a huge story, a lot of toy recalls. How have things changed since then, if at all?
Well, I think they have changed to some extent. In fact, I put that question to the world's largest toy maker, Mattel Incorporated, and they said, yes, we've become far more vigilant. But look, the bottom line is roughly 80 to 90% of all toys sold in the United States still come from overseas, particularly China, and it's very difficult to monitor some of those factories. And in fact, I took a walk around the toy district in downtown L.A. the other day, and I wasn't really impressed by the quality of a lot of the safety out there.
What did you find?
Well, among other things, I found toys for clearly babies and toddlers, for instance, rattles and pacifiers that had been manufactured in China, and a big thing on the outside of the box saying for kids 6 months or older, but there in the corner, a little tiny sticker saying, warning, choking hazard, not for children under three, which makes you think, wait a minute, who looks at the sticker? And second, who buys rattles and pacifiers for a three-year-old? So I think the big guys did learn their lessons. The problem is the little guys. I'm not sure if they all learn their lessons, whether we're talking about production or distribution or retail, and that's where consumers need to be most careful.
Well, we've had a lot of news sort of along those lines very recently as well, with folding strollers and collapsing cribs. What is the Consumer Protection Agency doing about this?
Well, I talked to them and they say, don't worry, we're on top of it, which is, I guess, reassuring to some extent.
Like the crib.
Like the crib. And the crib, I think, is a very good example. A couple of million of these cribs were recalled this week. Now, on the one hand, there's a cup is half full aspect to this, and the system works. A dangerous product is being pulled from the marketplace. Good. On the other hand, cup is half empty because some of these cribs have been on the market for more than 16 years, which suggests that, wait a minute, somebody dropped the ball for an awful long time. So really, you can look at that both ways.
Well, there will be a lot of toy and crib buying in the coming couple of months. A lot of retailers make up to 40% of their income around this time of year. What can parents do to make sure they're buying things that are safe for their children?
Well, I think at this point, try to stick with the brands you understand. And if you cut corners and go to the smaller fly-by-night shops buying brands that you might not have heard of from places that you don't even know how to find on the map, you're taking your chances.
David Lazarus is a business columnist with the LA Times. David, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
If you need something for free after all that shopping, go to our website. We've got a musical feature there called Recession Rocks with music to liven up your downturn. It's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.